What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I am Justin.
I am Pete. And stacking it up.
We are stacking it up. We are talking about three comics that are coming out today, right now. They're sitting on the rack somewhere. What are you doing? Rush out there. Get them. We're about to tell you about them, and you need to know about them.
I like how you're like, what are you doing sitting here listening to this podcast?
That's what I'm saying. You can put your earphones in, go to the store, walk, listen, learn, buy. That's life. What else do you do in life?
Wow, man.
Eat?
Yeah, eat. They're sleeping, which is great.
Oh, I don't sleep.
You should try it.
Nah.
Yeah.
Comic books are my dreams. We're going to talk about three comics today. We're going to talk about Dark Knight's Metal, number 2, Realm, number 1, from Image Comics, and Birthright, number 26, also from Image Comics.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off and talk about Dark Knight's Metal, number 2.
I think you got to say it, Metal, yeah. Number 2.
I like it. The logo looks like it's on the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is like country shit, just like we grew up in the upstate New York, Pete. You get it.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know, it's like, fuck this highbrow comic shit. Let's fucking get metal.
Yeah, let's get metal. Let's eat garbage plates.
Batman's cool, but, like, let's fucking make a metal Batman.
And there's nothing more metal than this comic dealing with very, very specific continuity that's been laid out over the last 30 years of DC Comics. Quick recap. There's a dark multiverse that has been creeping its way into our multiverse over generations. It has targeted Batman. An enemy by the name of Barbatos has laced our multiverse, Earth specifically, with these different metals. And once they touch all touch Batman, he is what's called mantled, and he becomes a gateway which allows Barbatos to enter our multiverse.
Wow. It seems like a long way to go just for that. You know what I mean?
Yo, this whole book is about a long way around the barn.
Right.
We have the entire Justice League and a ton of heroes in the DC universe chasing Batman and the Bat Family. The first half of the comic is such a fun, like, ride.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. I thought this was so cool. Just, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, Batman's lame, he doesn't have powers. Like, fuck that, man. I love Batman. And this just kind of proves how badass Batman is. Like, it takes all of the Justice League to try to track down Batman, and they barely do it.
And what I love about Scott Snyder's Batman is it's all about, like, Batman just being uber prepared. It's all about preparation. Like, so much of this comic is the fun of the misdirect of, oh, Batman, how did he hide a tracer in a wall of souls?
Yeah.
Constantine Zatanna there. Then we have him beating the Justice League. Then we find out that it's Nightwing, and they're stuck in the Parliament of Trees with Swamp Thing, and all of a sudden they finally capture Batman, and boom, it's Clayface. It's just like, it's great. I love all that.
You gotta back up the truck here for a second, because there was a panel where I thought I was reading Invincible, where fucking Superman punches through Batman's fucking chest.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Turns out it was Clayface. That was a fun reveal.
It's great, and I love that Batman had hidden a little transmitter that was broadcasting Batman's specific heartbeat, because he knew that Superman would be listening for Batman's heartbeat. Like, the layers here are crazy. In a great way.
Also, like, I love the little actor moment of, like, Clayface being like, I did a pretty good job, right?
Yeah. So then, for me, here's where the issue gets even crazier. Then Batman's in going to the tomb of Princess Khufu.
You got to talk about first how we got to see the Legion of Doom, the old school, like, helmet dome come up out of the lava. I love that shit.
I agree. I think Scott Snyder clearly is a big time student of the DC universe, and this is what he wants to bring back. And it is cool. And I love you hear Ra's al Ghul say, like, sorry, I'm the youngest one here, because all the other villains are, like, from all of history.
Yeah,
and here's the first phrase where I was like, oh shit, this is comics getting crazy. You'll take the Anti-Monitor's astral brain and fire it through the core of the multiverse at the Rock of Eternity and destroy the dark multiverse once and for all. I was like, oh shit, I read more comics than anyone I know, and I barely know what all of that means. So I don't know what exactly that I have coming my way. And we have Batman talking with Dream, the Sandman himself, or technically his not the Morpheus from the Sandman series, but his next incarnation, basically. And then we have a baby Darkseid, which
that's where crazy. I kind of checked out a little bit. I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about Batman holding a fucking baby Bjorn of Darkseid. I was like, this is the best we can do.
It does look a little like parody. It felt like a joke.
It's a little like, what is going on?
And then it gets even crazier. Then everyone's talking about this new metal. We find out it's Batmanium. Scott Snyder brings in, which is, you know, a little on the nose when it comes to naming metals. But we have all these, like, the Court of Owls, all these other, what are these guys
which was called? Cool, because this is kind of like a Scott Snyder's, like, greatest hits kind of, like, stuff, where we, like, before in the last issue, it was in this one where he was talking about the Labyrinth and how, like, the water he drank when he was going crazy was infected with the metal. And I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah. And so we get through all that continuity, it sort of slows it down a little bit, and then we get into revealing all of these, like, dark, dark gods.
Metal gods, dude. Bro, this is fucking some hardcore art right here, bro.
Yeah, and it's great. It's fun. I like all these guys. They really put Superman and Wonder Woman down very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, when you're, like, power move is like creepy strings of, like, that look like just kind of like dark branches. I don't know how scared I am of you.
Well, I mean, they wither the two of the strongest DC heroes in a heartbeat. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's very powerful, but, like, I don't know, man. Well, you know.
Not your favorite.
My favorite move.
I love it. I say pick it up.
Oh, dude, I definitely say pick it up. It's worth it for the Legion of Doom shout out alone, but yeah, I don't know, man. Sometimes it gets a little too comics-y for me in this.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a dip in the continuity, but I feel like that's what Scott Snyder loves, and I sort of enjoy his enthusiasm for it, even if it doesn't light me up as much as other things.
Yeah.
Let's jump in and talk about The Realm. We should also say the art on metal is killer. Great.
It's absolutely fantastic and very over the top in all the right ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so far as an event, even though I'm like, Baby Bjorn, Darkseid, not cool, I still feel like I'm very much on board.
Yeah, me too. Like I was saying, let's jump into The Realm number one, this comic by Jeremy Hahn and Seth M. Peck. This is sort of like a mashup title where we have, like, a fantasy world touching with a post-apocalyptic world. We explore it in sort of a, they don't really lay out a lot of information, but it's cool that they don't. We just get to watch these characters go through their adventure.
Now, I'll be interested, what do you think of the main character?
He's very distant. We don't know a lot about him. He seems like a little bit too cool for school.
Yeah, and I call him Justin in my head. This guy is exactly you.
Oh, wow. I think that's a compliment.
Well, he's kind of shady. He's got a lot going on. You know, he's very good at his job. But then there's that, like, if you're not paying attention, he's looking down at his arm and it's turning black. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so we said there's a lot of mystery set up. It's sort of it's a bit jarring to be like, it's a post-apocalyptic story, and then all of a sudden there are goblins, and you're like, how did that happen? Right. And I'm assuming we're going to slowly learn how all of that happened, but, I mean, these characters are intriguing. It's a really beautifully drawn comic.
Yeah, the art's fantastic, and especially, like, the moments they take to, like, really make the buildings, like, the tone, like, I've never really noticed buildings much in comics, but, like, this, the way it's done, it really sets things up in a cool way.
Yeah, I mean, you've never noticed buildings just in general.
Yeah, I don't. And I live in New York City, so that's crazy. Kind of shocking.
Yeah, it's very.
Yeah, but Each panel is really done well in telling the story, and I appreciate it. I mean, so a lot of times the background doesn't matter, but like this, it does a great job of telling the story. So I've been very impressed with the art in this book.
Yeah, if you're a fan of like the Final Fantasy franchise, I feel like that's sort of what this is. Those games do such, especially the older ones or the ones that I was super into, are a mix of like magic and technology and how worlds are always falling apart and being rebuilt. And this is awesome.
I do like the Tooth Hunter guy, though.
Yeah. He's
cool.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Yeah, he's kind of a badass dude.
Great. I say I'm on board. I'm going to keep buying this.
Yeah, I also like how like it's just weirdly mentioned, like the pricing for this guy's kind of like trade. And then in the back, you get to see like, welcome to the realm. These are the guided tours, and this is how much it costs. And it's kind of funny how important like toothbrushes and stuff are in the future. Where it's like, if you don't want to turn into the goblin, you better brush your teeth, man.
Yeah, once people stop making toothbrushes, you know, they're only a certain amount left.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess that's it, and that's the currency in this post-apocalyptic future there.
That's why I've learned to make my own toothbrushes.
Learn to make your own toothbrushes?
Yeah, I make all my own toothbrushes.
What do you use for the brush part?
My hair, just right.
I was scared that was the answer, because really that's... There's no way your hair can clean anything.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess take a look at my smile. next up, let's talk about Birthright number 26. Now, this is one of my favorite
comics. This is your jam, man. This is why I want to talk about it, because this is – I barely pick this up on a regular basis, but when I do, I'm always pleasantly surprised, but – I trusted that you will be able to fill me in on what the fuck is happening.
So this is written by Josh Williamson, drawn by Andre Brisson. And this comic is this is the beginning of a new arc, and it's sort of a issue 26. 25 is a major turning point. So the premise of this comic is a kid falls into a fantasy universe, and he is...
Classic.
He is told that he's the one. He is going to go fight the evil magician that is ruling the world, trains his whole life, goes to fight him, and loses. He becomes a pawn of the evil magician and is sent back to his world, and he's like this jacked, like Thor-like warrior, and his family has thought he was missing. He's much older than he was in this world. And so we get the dual storyline of this like failed fantasy character at the same time dealing with like his family and how him going missing affected their lives and what it's like for him to be back. His girlfriend is pregnant with a baby. So family is very strong in this story. And also like the failure and what becomes of you and your dreams or your what you think your life's going to be when you fail. And it's just such a smart premise, and laid on top of that is this great like adventure.
So, yes, cool, but what the fuck's the deal with the dude frozen in the coffin and the guy who's keeping him there for his own good, but it doesn't seem like it's for his own good, but he keeps saying it's for his own good, and I don't fucking know if it's for his own good.
Right, so
what's that? Explain that to me.
Yep, he's a warrior, and he is the guy in the coffin, and they're like, he's in stasis, is the warrior, and that's his grandfather who is trying to take the evil part out of him so that he can go back to being this warrior, good warrior.
Yes. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like that, though. It seems like he's keeping him in there.
Well, I think there's it's hard to tell exactly what happens. We have this hero warrior who has an evil presence inside him, and his grandfather is this magician that we don't quite trust yet, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't quite know what everyone's allegiances are. But what I do know is that the art in this comic is beautiful. It's worth picking up just for that, I feel like.
Yeah, and also great, like, kind of fight sequences.
Yeah.
Although there was that one part that was confusing where he's holding a sword in one frame and then punches the bad guy in the face in the other frame. And then the sword's on the ground, and I'm just thinking to myself, why would you drop the sword and then punch a guy?
Yeah, like, when you're feeling it, when you're like, yo, I don't need this. Yeah, okay. It's like when I'm like eating like a steak and I've got a fork and knife, I'm like, yo, I don't need this. And I just go after it with my hands. Up
the steak, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we've all been there.
We've all been there. Like, I'm a terrible date. So I've always talked about this book. This arc going forward is going to have more of a horror vibe, they say, in the back pages, which I'm excited about.
I'm not.
It feels like more tension, but obviously it's still going to have all this fantasy stuff. It's really good. One of my favorite books. I would recommend going back to the beginning, picking up the trades, and then picking up on this arc when you're ready.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every time we talk about this book, it's always enjoyable. So, yeah, I would back that up. I feel like it would be definitely worth going back and getting on board with. Because it's even describing it, it's intriguing. Like, it's not like a lame story. It's doing a great job of, like, using a backdrop that we kind of know, but telling something that's very cool. And, I think it's really well done. I would like to see less horror, more action, but you know, I'm not in charge of this comic, so
we're not in charge of any comics.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I'm excited to see where it goes, and hopefully, it doesn't get too hoary. And because I feel like the warrior part of this guy is pretty important, so I don't want to lose all that if we just go into like Nightmare on Elm Street style, because he's stuck in a fucking coffin by his grandpa.
Yeah. I know. Well, we've all been there. What a fun stack. What a positive. We're all very positive about it.
Yeah, man. Except when I compared you to the main character in the last book and you didn't seem to care. Other than that, it's been pretty positive.
Well, you compared me quite negatively. I was moving past it to keep it positive.
Oh, I see what you... Well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you. Guys, this is The Stack. You can check us out also on our podcast, Comic Book Club, which you probably already know about. We also do a Preacher podcast. We're just finishing up season 2, as are you, I imagine. And we're getting ready to dive back into our Riverdale podcast. We've got a couple special episodes before we kick off with season 2 of Riverdale, which I am very excited about.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to turn out, man.
Nobody
Riverdale
does.
Is pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, who would have thought that P. LePage in 2017 would be saying words like that?
Yeah, I know.
You're truly aging gracefully.
I doubt it.
If you want to help support the show, you can check us out at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Throw us some bucks to keep this multinational corporation going. And come check us out every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York City.
Yeah, we'd love to see you at our live show. It's a fun show, and we need people there so that way we can bounce jokes and ideas off of them.
Yeah, please do. Come hang. We're nice dudes in person.
Most of us.
Most of one of us is. thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next week on The Stack.
Thanks, everybody.